kind of funny because my brother came into my office today and he said, you just Twittered that you're preaching. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, well, Dan told me I was preaching. So we both have like messages and I'm like, well, you can go ahead and preach. It's cool. And he's like, no, 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 you're going to college because I'm preaching at a big conference. So he's like, you need to practice. So my nice brother gave up his preaching spot for me, but you'll get him in a couple weeks. But and he's doing two Sundays from now. So two Sunday nights in the main sanctuary he's doing as well. Yes, you are. Dad said that today that you were. So two Sundays he'll be up in the main sanctuary. So anyways, but I was, how many of you were here last week? How many of you were here last week? Okay, how many of you came to see The Passion? Not many of you. Wow, shame on you. You really should come see that movie during Easter. It'll change you. Well, we were watching The Passion, and you know, I go and see The Passion every year, and I thought to myself, we were getting ready with band practice and everything over here, and I said, okay, I'll go sit in the main sanctuary and just start watching it. I thought it would be easy, right? No. Man, it seems like every year it gets harder and harder. I'm sitting in the sanctuary. I have no tissue. I'm in one of the rows without tissue, you know, of course. And I'm like, like heaving. And this sweet person behind me noticed that I'm a mess. And she taps me on the shoulder and hands me some tissue. And I'm like, thank you. And she's like, you're welcome. And we're like both a mess, you know. But it was one of those things where when I was watching it, I couldn't get past how I did not deserve what he did for me. I couldn't get past it. I was so like, I could barely move because it was like, oh my gosh, the things he went through, he got beat for us. He was stripped of everything, all dignity, everything was gone for me, for you, for the stupid sins and the stupid decisions we've made in this life and for the dumb things that we do on a daily basis because we're human. But yet God says, no, 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 I love you so much, I don't care. This is what I've given for you. And I was sitting there and I was just like, wow, you know? And the part when he was at the Lord's Supper and he's talking to his disciples and he says, and this command I leave you. And right at that moment, I know what he says, right? But I'm thinking to myself, he could have left us with like a laundry list of a million things to do, right? Because he's, first of all, God. And we screw up so much. He could have been like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, right? He totally could have done that. But yet he said, and this I command you to love. And at that point, I was like, oh, Father, forgive me. Because Pastor Jess has a heart too, and I easily get offended, and I easily get hurt, and things are obviously said, or whatever the case may be, and I don't walk in love. And I just sat there, and I was like, oh, my God, forgive me, God. Forgive me, forgive me. I could not stop asking him for forgiveness because the love of God was being displayed to me on screen of what he sacrificed for me. And yet I can't even do the one little thing he asked me to do when he died on the cross for me, and that was to love. And so he started to begin to take me on a journey this week. And I mean, I couldn't get it out of my head. I was in the Word every day. I mean, I was already there. I'm reading through the Bible. I was already reading about all of this. So it was kind of a coincidence that I was there. And God just began to speak to me. And so if you would go with me to John 13:34, I'm going to start there. How many of you brought your Bibles tonight? Young adults, you got to keep your sword with you. No more not bringing your Bibles to shift, okay? Bring them. Because I want you guys to be ready to go and equipped. And I don't want you to just be reading off this board back here. I want you to know it in your heart, okay? So it's one thing to look at your word, but it's another thing to have it with you in your hand. John 13:34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And so God says that you love one another as I have loved you. And I began to you know, ponder on that and thinking, well, God, I do love everyone. You know, I do. I love them. And as I began to think of the things that were maybe hurting me or offending me in the week, I all of a sudden couldn't get hurt and offended by them because I was choosing love in my heart. And I was kind of like, wait a second. No, because I love them. That doesn't make sense. Nothing started to work. Where before, when I wasn't using love in life, I would get offended, things would happen, it was much easier. So then I went into 1 Corinthians, okay, so turn to 1 Corinthians 13. And how many times have we read this? A million, but let's read it again. It's never bad to read things over and over again. It says, though I speak with tongues and of men of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Pretty much, don't be full of hot air. You might think you're the stuff and you might think you're it and you might think you have it all together. But if you do not love, you are full of it. Okay? Verse 2, and though I have a gift of prophecy and understand the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains, but have not love, I have nothing. To move a mountain, it's humongous. But if you don't love, you have nothing. In verse 4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy, it does not parade itself, it is not puffed up, it does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, it is not provoked, and it thinks no evil. How many of you just thought evil today? Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. It bears all things, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there is prophecy, that will fail. Where there is tongues, it will cease. Where there is knowledge, it will vanish away. And let's go down to verse 13. And now abide in faith, hope, and love, and these three. But the greatest of these is love. You see, God is obviously saying something. That the one thing he's thinking about before he's going to die for us is he's telling us not, hey, keep it together, don't sin. Don't let the enemy come and crouch at your door and take you away. No, he's saying love. Because listen, when we love, the enemy cannot come in and crouch at our door and take us away. When we choose love, sin cannot come in and manipulate our lives and begin to tear us apart from what God has for us. So we're going to talk about tonight what love is. And point number one, if you're writing this down, our role with his command is that love is a choice. You say, oh, Pastor Jess, it's a choice. It is a choice. Because I'm sorry, if you cut me off on the freeway, I'm going to want to chew you out. In fact, the other day, I'm on the phone with Dan, and this person, I'm going to girlfriends, and this person, I shouldn't have been on the phone, okay? I didn't have my I'm confessing, I didn't have my little Bluetooth thing, okay? And this person is like totally getting in my lane on the freeway. I'm thinking, what? Oh my gosh, you know, like honking my horn, and I'm like, dang, I have to go. And I'm like, idiot. And I was like, really mad, I'm calling them an idiot. I still kind of think they are. But anyways, they didn't turn and look in their window. So they keep going and going. And I'm like, whatever, they've already passed me and whatever, right? I'm getting off the freeway. I'm almost to church. Yep, who's in front of me? Yep, this person. And I'm thinking, I am choosing love right now. I'm not going to be mad at them. They're not an idiot. Forgive me, Lord. You know, I'm like changing my heart at this point because I'm still like, please don't turn in the church parking lot. Please don't turn in the church parking lot. Please don't be a girlfriend. Please don't be a girlfriend, because I was going to girlfriends. And sure enough, they turned to the church parking lot and everything, and they ended up going to the service that day. But you know what it was? I realized at that point, the Lord spoke to me when I parked the car. He said, listen, you can choose to be a jerk about it, just like they were not thinking clearly. Or you can choose to say, no, they're a child of God. Obviously, they're at church, and I need to love them. And I know that was so stupid and little, but seriously, that was something that just happened to me. And you can choose. Thomas Kempis says, whoever loves much does much. Have you ever met somebody who just kind of like blah, doesn't really care about someone, just kind of lives in their own world and it's about them? Or have you met people that are like go-getters, will do anything for somebody, who would drop anything and hang out and drop anything and do something for them, go out of their way, think about how to be a blessing? Those people love much. Because it takes a lot to love a lot. God is not asking us to choose something that he hasn't done for us already, you guys. He's not saying, choose love, and he didn't choose love. You think that when he was getting persecuted, he didn't think about you? No, that was choosing love. He could have said, hey, I'm MIA, man. This is way too much for me. I'm moving on. He didn't. He said, no, I choose to love them. In John 3:16, in the Amplified Version, so you can look at the middle screen, for God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave up his only begotten unique son so that whoever believes and trusts in, clings to, and relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, or be lost, but have eternal everlasting life. I want you to get this. In Romans 12:9-16 in the Message. Now I'm talking to you guys. Love from the center of who you are. Don't be fake. Listen, young adults, you have an opportunity to want to be in the trend, want to be cool, want to get the next newest technology, want to know the next newest fashion, want to look hot because maybe you go somewhere and everybody there looks hot. But you know what? Don't be fake. Be yourself. Love from the center of who you are. Run for dear life from evil. Okay, how many of you do not run from dear life from evil? You see evil and you're kind of like, ooh, he's hot. Mm-hmm. I know he don't like God, but he's cute. Girls, I did it, and it's bad. Don't go there. Boys, maybe you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. Going in bars you shouldn't be going in. Come on, guys. Run from evil is what the Word of God says. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends with who love deeply, practicing second fiddle. Guess what? It's not about you. Choose love, because this is not about you. Don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and inflamed. Be alert, servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies. No cursing under your breath. Laugh with happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies, and don't be great somebodies. How many of you can honestly say that you've taken those roles, that you've chosen that path, that you've walked down that road, and that on a daily basis you're walking down this road of life and saying, I'm choosing love, I'm choosing love? If you did, how would life be different if you chose love? How would life be different for you? Because every single day we're challenged with loving people. Every single day we're challenged with getting outside of ourselves and doing something for someone else. Let's move on to point number two. Number one, love is a choice. Number two, love in your weakness. You know, there are many times that we feel weak and inadequate. We feel that we have nothing to give. You know, people have let you down and told you that you're nobody, told you that, you know, beat you up and raked you through the coals, and so many bad things have happened to you. And you said, what do I have to give? Nobody wants me. They've told me that I'm a loser. They've told me this. They've told me that. Maybe sometimes you just feel like you're a failure because you have failed at things so many times. And you just, for some reason, can't seem to pick yourself back up and move on. You maybe fall back into that sin again and fall back into that sin again and fall back into that sin again. And God says, hold on. Just because you're weak does not mean you still can't love. And in your weakness, I will work through you and I will flow through you and the love of God will shine through you. See, you're not out of commission ever. Does that make sense? You know, it's so funny. So many times women will have, you know, that time of the month or something. I'm just going to sleep all day. Oh, well, excuse me. You're out of commission for what, a week? That's stupid. Pregnant women. I'm pregnant. Okay, I was pregnant. And sometimes you sit there and you're very pregnant and you just want to go to sleep for the rest of, like, the 9 months. How many times did my dad and my brother and my husband, what? Why are you guys so tired? Come on, let's go. You know, like, and it's true. Guys, we don't have an excuse to be out of commission. You know, oh, I'm weak. I'm poor and needy. I'm a messed up Christian. And I can't love. Come on, God says, please. You are not poor and needy. You are not weak. You may feel weak, but I'm your strength. You may feel like you're inadequate, but guess what? I've put you in a place to minister to someone else in your weakness. Guys, look for opportunity, no matter where you're at, no matter how you're feeling. 1 Corinthians 1:26-27, take a good look, friends, at who you were and when you were called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you, not many influential, not many high society families. How many of you are high society families around here? No, none of us. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chooses men and women that the culture overlooks, exploits, and abuses, chooses nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies? You see, guys, in your weakness, God uses that. In your position that you're in your place in life, take it and stand there and know that maybe you don't feel like you're called. Maybe you don't feel like you have any love to give, but you do. Because someone around you needs you. Someone around you needs your smile. Someone around you needs to know that you care. Someone around you needs to know that you have something to give them. So love in your weakness. Choose to love and love in your weakness. It's amazing. There are so many times that you know, ministry, you kind of get beat up a lot. Believe it or not, people say really mean things to us. And you can walk away, and usually it's about you. You know, it's never about anyone else. It's about you. So we've had many times where we've gone home at night and I'm like, Dad, I remember one time I was pregnant and the lady said to me, "Woo, girl, you are carrying that all in your hips." And I was just like, Welcome to my world. And and I just went home, oh my gosh, they're humongous. I mean, I had to seriously choose to love this lady because she was like, I love you, sweetheart. The next time she saw me at service, I'm thinking, does she have no clue what she just said to me? People will say things that hurt. People will talk about this one thing that you are totally insecure about. They will bring that up. Okay? They will find your weakness and they will know where to hit you. Okay? But listen, God says, I don't care if that's your weak spot. I'm still asking you to love in it. Because he didn't die on that cross so that in your weakness, you still don't do what he asked you to do. Because think about how weak he was up on that cross. Waiting to die so that you can be free. And God says, listen, in my weakness, I loved you. In your weakness, you better love others. Number three. I'm going through this fast, okay? Number three. Love when it hurts to love. It's hard. It's not easy to love when you're hurt. When your heart is broken, when somebody's let you down, because guess what? We're human. Someone will always let you down. When someone has broken you in a way that you don't know how you're going to heal, God's saying, love anyways. God's saying, listen, I know brokenness happens, but I'm the one that died on the cross for your brokenness. I know that you're hurt. And I know your heart has been ripped apart and people have let you down and failed you. Maybe it's parents. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's someone who totally went outside of the box and did something horrible to you in your life. And God is saying, even in your pain, I'm asking you to love. Love when it hurts. Recently, there was something that was going on in me, in my heart. You know when you get those things that happen in the spirit realm? I don't know. It's just something like, something's just not right. It's kind of like, ugh, in your life. Pastor Eleanor talked about it on Thursday morning. She said, you know when you have a rock in your shoe? And it's like really annoying. And you're trying to walk and you're like, gosh, that stupid rock, you know? And you take your shoe off and you shake it out. Well, there was just kind of like a, ugh, in my heart. And there was like a rock, you know, in my heart. And I was started to think about it. Careful, because when you start thinking about things, the enemy jumps in and starts talking about it too. And I started to, I started to think about it and ponder on it. And then all of a sudden, people started to approach me on the situation, which to me was like, ooh, red flag, that's weird. Nobody knew that I was even like thinking or dealing with that in my own life. And I went home, Dan and I talked it through, and he pointed out, hey, hello, that's obviously the enemy. You know, it's now causing me at this point not to walk in love with certain people. And at this point, I'm kind of like going like this because, you know, human nature goes, ooh, let's not get too close. Don't want to get hurt. Okay? That's what we do. And all of a sudden, my heart started to get hurt. Stupid. It was stupid. And I knew because, see, I'm now known God so well that I'm like, no, this is wrong. This is not God. I'm hurt. And that's stupid that I'm hurt. This is dumb that I'm hurt. And every day, you guys, I was like, I choose to walk in love. I choose not to listen to what I'm hearing. I choose to walk in love. And then it started to hurt me, and my feelings started to get hurt. Have you ever had your feelings hurt? And like, you just feel like, God, I'm so, like, you almost feel justified, like, oh, well, they hurt my feelings. You know? I don't have to love them. I don't have to go out of my way for them. I don't have to even go there. No, come on. God was speaking to me the whole time. So then I'm like a confrontational person, so I'm like, I'm going to go talk to this person. And the Holy Spirit said to me, don't you dare. Don't you dare. Talk to them because they are not doing what you think is happening. And I was like, ooh, okay. So then I didn't quite know what was going on, but my feelings were getting really hurt and it was really stupid. And every time I thought of this person though, believe it or not, I was in love with them. I would think about them and I'm like, oh, I just love them. I love this about them and that about them and this about them and that about them. And all of a sudden hurt would try and jump in. I'm like, no, but wait, how can I be hurt by somebody that I'm in love with this about them and this about them and this about, it was so weird. It was like such a conflict of good and bad. Have you, like, good demon, bad demon, you know, like, come on. That was happening in my heart this week. And I said, listen, God, I need you to show me that what I'm feeling is wrong. And he said, of course you're wrong. You're always wrong. And God told me I was wrong. And that even though I was hurt, it wasn't right. And even though I was hurt, I still had to walk in love. And so I began to pray, And God reconciled everything within a matter of 3 days. He healed everything in my heart. I shut down everything that was trying to talk to me. And when it came back, I rebuked it and sent it back to hell. And let me tell you guys something. Love, when it hurts, is not easy. But in 1 Corinthians 3:4, it says, love suffers long and is kind. It doesn't justify you being rude. It doesn't say it's okay. C.S. Lewis says in The Four Loves, the book, to love at all is to be venerable. Now, I was reading that. I'm thinking, he's like, that's an old word. He probably means vulnerable. No, I went back and I actually looked up the word, and it means to be impressive. To love at all is to be impressive. To be in a high place or position. Isn't that amazing? Then he goes on to say this. Love anything, and your heart will certainly be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping it intact, you must give your heart to no one, not even an animal. Wrap it up carefully, round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in a casket or a coffin of your selfishness. But in this casket, safe, dark, motionless, and airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will not be unbreakable. It will not be unpenetrable. Okay, I don't know the word. It will be irredeemable. The only place outside of heaven where you can be perfectly safe from all danger of love is hell. I don't know about you, but he's saying right there, you can lock yourself up, you can put yourself in a box, you can say, no one's going to hurt me ever again, I am putting my walls up. But if you do that, the only place you're going to be redeemable, the only place that you're going to send yourself to is hell. Because it's about the heart. When you came to know Jesus Christ, it wasn't about just saying words, oh Lord, come into my heart, be the Lord and Savior. It was a heart relationship with God. And when your heart gets tainted, and when your heart gets hurt, and when your heart doesn't walk in love anymore, the enemy then can come in and get you alone. And when he isolates you, he steals you. Because there's no accountability. There's no a place, there's not a place for you to have to practice love. Maybe you've been hurt in this room and you've put your walls up and you say, well, I can't let anyone hurt me. Man, I have been messed over by too many people and I am done. All right, I understand that. Believe me, if you know my testimony, it was totally sucky. And a lot of people hurt me and a lot of stupid decisions were made in my past. But let me tell you something. As soon as I started to let those walls down and in a way become vulnerable again, I allowed God to come in and take my heart again and say, okay, so if it gets crushed, all right, God, well, at least I tried. At least I loved them like you asked me to do. And you know what? I was actually blessed more than I was let down. Because people have something to give. People fill you up. People want to encourage you. They want to love you. They want to be part of your life. But when you start putting walls up and put everybody into your little box, well, they'll hurt me. Well, guess what? Yeah, they probably will. They're human. But God says, take everything off and love them. Love them in your hurt. Love them past your own self and your weakness. And choose to love them. Because guys, don't put your heart in a coffin. Don't let it sit there and become stagnant. But be impressive with love. Venerable. Be venerable with love. I want God to say to me, hey, you were venerable with love on earth. That means you were impressive, Jess. You did good with love. You loved people to the fullest. You did what I asked you to do when I went to that cross. Thank you. I don't know about you, but that's what I want to hear him say to me. And point number 4, love selfless. Listen, this world is gimme. I hate it. It drives me nuts. I was watching this one show, The Housewives of New York or something. It was about really rich people. Anyways, and the things they do. This lady bought a bag for $16,000. And she says, and it's ugly too. And she says, stupid. So she says, oh, well, you know, because of recession, I decided not to spend that much money on my birthday this year. And I'm like, what? And then the rest of the show was, oh, how can I get richer? How can I be more trendy? How can I be in the scene? I. And I was like, click. And I told Dan, God, what is wrong with these people? This is really where they live in. The world is so small and shallow and stupid. Like, so pointless. And I sat there and I was shocked Because I expect that maybe from, like, teenagers or somebody, you know, like that. But these people were, like, grown human beings with children and everything, and they were still, like, totally into themselves. And I was sickened by it. But see, God's world is not one of I. God's world is how can I serve you? What can I do for you? How can I love you more? What is it you need from me that I can do for you? See, God's world lives with love. Guys, he's asking us to be selfless. In 1 Corinthians 3:5, it says, talking about love, it is not conceited, arrogant, or inflated. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. With pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and it does not act unbecoming. Has there ever been a moment in your life when you snap or you say something totally irritable and then you like kind of feel bad afterwards? You're like, oh gosh, totally acted like a jerk. Okay, well, that's what it's talking about. Love, God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. That's like everything opposite of the world that we live in. But yet God is asking us to live opposite of where we live. He's saying love selfless. There's a story. William Gladstone is announcing the death of a Princess Alice in the House of Commons. He told a touching story. The little daughter of the princess was seriously ill with diphtheria. The doctors told the princess not to kiss her little daughter and in danger of her life by breathing the child's breath. Once when the child was struggling to breathe, the mother fretfully picked her up and put her into her arms in fear of her choking to death. Rasping and struggling for her life, the child said, "Mama, kiss me." Without thinking of herself, the mother tenderly kissed her daughter. She got diphtheria, and some days thereafter, she went to be forever with the Lord. Real love forgets self. Real love knows no danger. Real love doesn't count the cost. The Bible says many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown in it. I thought of this story because I have a daughter, and so I thought, God, if she was on her deathbed, I would kiss her. I don't even care. I would kiss her and kiss her and kiss her. I would kiss her, kiss her, kiss her. Guess what? When our King was on that cross, broken, beaten, tore up, and mangled for you, he was kissing you. He was hugging you, and he was saying, it's okay. No matter what it is you're going to go through in life, I'm dying on this cross so you can live. I'm dying on this cross so that you can love selflessly. Because guys, listen. When we give to get, we're not blessed. When you give to love and nothing in return, that's when you're blessed. God is saying, listen, young people, if you can get this now in our age, if you guys can get this now, your lives will be beyond blessed. And you will know the goodness of God bigger and better than everyone around you. Because you've allowed God to speak into your heart tonight. And you're going to change. And this is what I'm asking of you. I'm asking you to choose love. When you're dealt a bad hand in life, what are you going to do? You're going to choose love. When someone treats you wrong or defiles you or makes a mockery out of you even, you're going to choose love. When you're broken, you feel like you have nothing to give and everything has gone out of you. And you feel like, God, I'm just here on this earth with no purpose. God says, oh no, I've asked you to love and that's your purpose. I want you to love. And when it hurts to love someone because maybe you just don't want to love them. Maybe they've hurt you. Maybe they pissed you off. I said pissed. It's okay. We're in shift. When they've really done you in, when they've really pushed your butt into the last straw, when you are done, God says, nope, you're not allowed to be done. I want you to love when it hurts. Because I haven't asked you to do anything else but love. And last, he says, love selfless. Remove yourself and put me in there. And I will guide you, direct you, lead you, bless you, equip you. I will provide for you in a way you've never known. Everything else falls into place when we love. So tonight, young adults, he died on that cross. God said, I love you. I chose to love you. I loved you when I was weak and broken, under persecution, being wrongly accused. I loved you. I loved you when it hurt. I loved you. And I loved you selfless. I gave my life for you. He died on that cross and he showed us how he lived. Now he expects us to live as he did. C.S. Lewis says, on the whole, God's love for us is much safer subject to think about than our love for him. Guys, let's strive to love this year. Let's strive tomorrow when we wake up that we're going to love bigger. We're going to love louder. We're going to be bigger and louder in our lives. We're going to take those moments and we're going to embrace them with the King. Okay? No more hitting people up and being rude and, you know what, you're such a jerk. No more. No more fighting. When someone starts a fight with you, you know what? Walk away and say, I'm going to choose love. I'm going to choose love today. Okay? Let's just pray. Dear Father God, we give our hearts to you, God. Lord, you've asked us to do so much for us. But Lord, it's nothing you didn't even do for us. God, you did so much for us. And we thank you for that. Lord, we ask that you would equip us to love the way you need us to love. Lord, we know that you've commanded us and that you've given to us your love. And Lord, we ask that you would express through us your love to others. That God, that you would give us strength in our weakness to love. God, that you would remind us to choose love when we don't want to choose love, Lord. Lord, that when people hurt us and when we're going the wrong path in our hearts, God, that Lord, we will still choose love so that sin cannot come in. And Lord, we ask that we would love selfless the way you loved us, God. And Lord, we repent tonight of not loving the way we should have loved. Lord, we ask that you would just renew our hearts with a new passion for people, God, for the people around us. And Lord, we ask that you would show us how to love those that have hurt us, God. Help us to walk in forgiveness, God. Help us to let those things go and lay them down at your feet and say, enough's enough. You've only asked me to love. And God, I just pray that you would anoint us. You'd speak to us, God. And that you guide us as young adults. And that this core of people here tonight, Lord, that they would get this, they would run with it. And Lord, that you bless their lives above and beyond what they can even hope, dream, or imagine. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen. If you got something from the Word of God tonight, go ahead and give him a hand.